Well, good morning again. I'm glad that you all have made it. Is it raining yet? Nope. Looked like there were storms coming, so that's great. That's great. That does kind of play into my Father's Day plan, because when Sonia asked me, what did I want to do, I said, nothing. That's a good Father's Day, right? Amen. I don't want to work in the yard, nothing. That's what I want. Today we're going to be in the fourth chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians. And if you want to prepare there, I believe Debbie's going to put those up on the overhead as well. We're going to be talking this morning about resistance and about trials. So what an encouraging Father's Day message, right? But that's all right, because you know what I found is that most guys don't like easy. We like easy on certain things, but we appreciate the things we have to work for, right? We appreciate the things that by the sweat of our brow we've had to achieve. But now, ladies, this is going to be for all of us, so you can't check out. You got to stay with us, all right? In this particular passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at this morning, the Apostle Paul is writing about a great treasure and about a great gift that has been given. And we're going to begin in verse 7. And what the first few verses in this passage say, just so we know in context, is that Paul is talking to the church in Corinth about this valuable, precious treasure that we have been given in Jesus Christ, this wonderful gift that we have, this amazing thing. And so when he begins, we begin in verse 7, and he's referencing this treasure, he is talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We as believers have the truth of all eternity dwelling within us through Jesus Christ, and the truth about what he has done. And so as we read this passage together this morning, I want us to listen to what the Word of God has to say to us, because it's going to talk about some difficult things. You know, one popular misconception, I believe, in the church world today is that when you give your life to Jesus and you set out to follow him, is that everything's going to be easy. And we know that's just not the truth. It's not going to be easy. It's not just all going to be handed to us on a silver platter just because we have Jesus. But because we have Jesus, we will be able to endure anything that we face. Because we have Jesus, we'll have the strength and the power to be able to walk into those times of difficulty. Let's read this passage together. Paul says, "But in all of this, we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but we're not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal bodies. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believe, therefore I have spoken.' With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will raise you, also raise us with Jesus, and present you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving and overflow to the glory of God. So therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving in us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." As I said, this is a little different. You know, oftentimes we look to the Word of God for encouragement, and when we think of encouragement, we think of something that kind of builds us up. And this particular passage of Scripture doesn't seem to be that exciting. I don't know about you, but when somebody tells me that, hey, this is really going to be hard, it's really going to stink, that doesn't just get me all excited and I say, oh yeah, great, I'm ready to get involved in that, right? Somebody says, hey, I need you to come over. I was talking to, I don't see Amanda here, but we were talking to Amanda, and she was talking about the water being left on where the kids are raising their hogs for 4-H, and it created this horrible mess, and she had to call Jordan and say, I need you. The mud and water was up over their boots, and there was a mess, and can you imagine getting that call saying, hey, there's been a real tragedy at the hog pen. I don't really want to go to a hog pen anyway. But when there's a problem at a hog pen, that's even, I mean, because hogs in themselves are a problem. The mud and mess and all that. And when you say, hey, there's a bad problem at the hog pen, I don't really want any part of that. And in some regards, I think, like I said, oh, there you are, Amanda. Hi. Amanda's up there. When we think of church and we think of that, we want so much for our lives to be so perfect and trouble-free, don't we? I mean, am I missing something here? Isn't that kind of the case? That's what we're looking for. It's easy. We're hoping that things are going to get better, and I'm not at all saying that they aren't. But what I am saying is that oftentimes when we're following Jesus, it's hard. It is just hard. The other thing that Paul says in verse 7, he says, we have this treasure, and the treasure is Jesus. The treasure is the truth and the hope of the gospel. But he says something interesting. He says, we carry this treasure in jars of clay. And that very simply just means these bodies. We carry this treasure, this great treasure of value. And it was very customary in older times that if they had something valuable, well, they would normally be carrying maybe a basket or a jar made out of clay, and a lot of times that they would carry that with them, supposedly to have grain or something like that in it, which would be a normal occurrence, just like what we would carry things around. And so if they had something of great value, they might stick their money pouch way down inside the grain so that if robbers or someone who came along wouldn't actually see it. So they hid the treasure in something common. They hid the treasure, they hid the thing of the greatest value in something that was everyday. And God has chosen to do the same thing because there's no more everyday than me and you, right? We're everyday. We're here every day. We're intermingling with our friends, with our family, with our coworkers every day. And yet God says, I'm going to choose to put the greatest possession, the greatest treasure that the world has ever known, I'm going to put it in the everyday. And that every day is going to be present with everyone. We are these earthen vessels. And why did he do that? Paul says he did it to show that the power is his, not ours. If God put that in us so that we walk around, I've heard it put this way by a pastor quite a few years ago. He said, you know, you and I are the carriage that carries the King of all kings. Now, when you look at it kind of that way, that sounds a little bit more exciting. Oh, yeah, you know, we think of a real nice royal carriage. But when you think of just a pot, just an old basket, we're a value. You know, but we truly do carry such a great and valuable cargo, but yet we don't put it in the most beautiful vessel to carry it in. As I said before, there's this popular idea within Christianity, and unfortunately, it is very popular in the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the nation and even around the world, that when we come to Jesus, everything is all about good times and fun, and that. But where the rub comes in that, where the trouble comes in that, is when a person comes to Christ or a person who's been a Christian for a long time, if you're hearing that kind of teaching day in and day out, well, then when trouble does come, what do you do? Because now you've set up a belief system that says, I'm not supposed to have bad times. Tragedy isn't supposed to strike me because I'm a Christian. And Paul teaches quite the contrary. And beyond Paul, Jesus said the very same thing in many different occasions. He said that it's going to be hard. And that's why on one occasion where there were many followers who were beginning to follow Jesus and the disciples, and they were gathering around him, and Jesus began to speak and was speaking kind of a hard message, it says after he was done talking, a whole lot of people left. They just walked away. And Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, do you guys want to go too? And Peter responded with one of the most amazing responses in the scripture. He said, but you have the words of life.
where else would we go? Where else would we go but to be with you, because we recognize that you're the one. We recognize that you have the truth. We recognize you're the treasure. We recognize you're the one we've been looking for. And even though maybe others aren't recognizing that, we see that. And as believers in Jesus Christ, that's what we have done. We have said, I accept you, Jesus, as the treasure. I accept you as the greater value, and I'll be the earthen vessel. Use me how you want. In the book of Romans, Paul again is writing, and he says, What can the pot say to the potter? Why would the clay speak to the potter and say, why did you make me like this? Why do you want to use me in this way? It is his choice. It is his choice how we are used. Listen to Paul's words. He says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but we are not crushed. So pressure's going to come, and pressure's going to be intense, but it won't kill you. It's going to be hard, and there's going to be pressure, but you'll make it. And then he says, we are perplexed, but we're not in despair. And so we might be confused. We might be struggling with, okay, what is going on right now? Why is this difficult? Why am I struggling? Why is this person, my loved one, why are they struggling? Why are they having to walk through this tough time? And Paul says, don't worry, because even though you're perplexed, you won't be in despair, because if you know Jesus, you can trust him. If you know who he is and you know that he's good, you can trust him even when it's difficult. You can trust him even when times are tough and things don't make sense. Then he says, we're persecuted but not abandoned. And we in the church in America, we don't know much about persecution. You know, we have brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world who can't do what we're doing this morning, because if they did, their church might be bombed. Or there might be people waiting for them with guns outside the doors when they left. And that's a reality that you and I will probably never understand or ever be able to fully appreciate, that there are people who will risk their very life to serve this Jesus, to carry this treasure with joy. But if we do it, Paul says, we might be persecuted, but God will not abandon us in that persecution. He will not leave us alone. He will be there. Jesus is a friend who sticks closer than any brother. And next, he adds to the excitement, and he says, we even might get struck down, but we won't be destroyed. Following Jesus could affect you physically. You might be struck down. There might be even physical trouble that comes into your life, but he still says, you won't be destroyed. It's interesting, at one place in the scripture, Jesus says, many of you fear many things, he says, but don't fear the one who can take your life. That's not the person to be afraid of. Don't be afraid of someone who can take your life. Be afraid of the one who created life. You should only worry about him. God is the author of life. He's the only one who we should revere and worry about, because if we are in Christ, our life is his, whether here or in heaven. Either side, we win. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. And sometimes it may feel that way. It may feel like you've just been going through a long, hard time. And you think, man, I'm not sure if I signed up for the right thing. If I had the right ticket, am I on the right train? Am I going the right direction? And God is telling us, I'll be faithful. I will be there even in the difficult times. I'll be there even when you mess up, even when Eric messes up. He'll still be faithful to us, even if it's our fault or if it's not our fault, if it's from some outside force. And we carry this around in us so that the life of Jesus might be revealed in our body. Why would God need to reveal Jesus through me and you? Jesus made a crazy statement when he was getting ready to leave. He told the disciples, he said, I have to go. And it's for your benefit that I have to go, because the Comforter has to come. The Spirit of Truth has to come, the Holy Spirit. And he said, when he comes, you will be empowered, all of us. You'll be empowered to be my representatives in the world, and you'll go throughout the world. And then he gave the Great Commission shortly after that, said, you'll go to the uttermost parts of the earth to carry this message in these earthen vessels. God has given us the ability and the blessing of being able to sometimes walk through some difficult times. A friend of mine named Dr. James Davis, not the James Davis who was a pastor here years ago. This gentleman travels internationally, and he wrote a small book a few years ago. And in that book, he said, those of the deepest devotion have usually walked in the deepest darkness. And there is a process in life that we try to shy away from. I'm like everyone else. I try to shy away from pain. It's not my best friend. But there is a process in pain. There's a process in resistance that is for our benefit. Jimmy Williams over here is one of the football coaches, and he knows that if the players are going to be strong, they're going to be made strong in a place called the weight room. They're going to be made strong on the practice field. In that practice field and in that weight room, it's all about resistance. It's all about the pressure that they are willing to put themselves under, because if you will put yourself under pressure, you will get stronger. If you will allow yourself to get in those places where God is promising, yeah, you're going to be persecuted, but you're not going to be destroyed. Well, you're going to have pressure, but you're going to be okay. And it's the same thing. You know, going to the weight room working out stinks. I took 2 weeks off. We had vacation and all that, and I took 2 weeks off, and you'd have thought I'd never been in there in my life. I did my leg workout on Tuesday, and I cried all the way through Friday. And they're finally not hurting today, but it's terrible, you know. Squats can be your best friend and your worst enemy in life, because they will make you stronger. They will give you strength in your core at the most critical part of your body. But man, when you go to grow, you got to break down where you're at that moment. And if you're going to go to a higher level, you have to experience some pain sometimes to get there. You have to be able to step up to a different place. And that's going to mean getting outside of that comfort zone. It is true that victory is always on the other side of a fight. Now we live in a society where people get participation trophies and all that. And you can have a discussion about that if you're all for that. But if you're going to win something, it's going to be on the other side of a battle. If you're going to win and you're going to prevail, it's going to be on the other side of a fight. And sometimes in life, if we're going to win, we're going to have to go through some stuff. We're going to have to face some stuff in order to get there. Following Christ is not for the weak. Jesus said so. He made an amazing statement in John 15 and 8. He said to his disciples, he said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. And then followed that by saying, if they love you, it's because you're one of them. But if they hate you, it's because you're with me. Now that, we're not going to put that out on the billboard. That's not going to attract a lot of people to visit next week. But it's Jesus' words. He said it, not me. And his disciples still decided to stick with him. It didn't make his disciples perfect. We know that they messed up, but we know that at his crucifixion, many of them freaked out and abandoned him. But when that Holy Spirit came, they got that power, and then they turned the world upside down. We must stay committed to the process, because in the process is where we are prepared for the promises of God. And he has a lot of great promises in this book. He has promises about not only heaven, but the great things that he wants to do right here. Right here on earth, before we ever get to this great place called heaven, he has amazing things he wants to do, but we've got to stay in the process. We've got to remain faithful, as the word says. He says, it is written in verse 13, I believed, therefore I spoke. And before these things can come out of our mouth, before we will ever say the true things about who Jesus is, we have to believe him first in our own heart. You know, it's one thing to quote someone, but it's another thing to say what you believe.
You know, I like to quote people. I got a whole notebook full of quotes. I love it when people say brilliant things and hope that I can say some at some point in my life. Maybe somebody will write one of mine down someday. That would just be great. But to say the things that Jesus has said about us and to say those is an act of faith, because we know us. We know who we are. We know where we've been, and we know what we've done, and we know when we failed and yada, yada, all that stuff. But God declares us able to do this, guys. He says, you can carry the treasure. Guess what? I didn't even make a plan B. You and I are plan A. We're the only hope for this world to get this treasure. We're the only way they're going to get it. And if we sit on our hands and sit in the pews and we don't do it, they won't. This is important. This is critical to who we are as believers. And the world desperately needs us to live like it. They need us to press on. They need us to grow stronger for their sake. Verse 16, it says, so all this stuff going on, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we may be wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. The mercies and graces of our God are new every day. I may have shared this once before. My friend Matthew, who passed away a few years ago, on several occasions, I remember I called him one night. It's about 6:30, and he and I, we were so close, and we talked all the time. And I called him, and I said, hey, what are you doing? And he said, I just got in bed. 6:30, man, why are you getting in bed? He said, because the grace has run out. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, I'm either going to bed or I'm going to jail. He said, if I go to bed, God's grace and his mercy is going to renew me tomorrow morning. If I stay up, I'm going to be doing something probably I shouldn't do because I'm frustrated and I'm angry. It was a lot of wisdom in that. Sometimes, you know, we stay at it when we just need to go to bed and get a new start the next day. But God promises to renew us every day, that his spirit, that same spirit, the scripture says, that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in me and you. If we believe who Jesus Christ is, we accept the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel is very simple, that you and I were born into sin according to Romans 3:23, and that we needed a Savior to rescue us, to restore us to right relationship with God the Father, the way things were at the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. We needed that, and God sent Jesus Christ, his Son. He was the only one who could restore that relationship through a life of obedience, a sinless life of obedience. And he followed God's lead, and he went to the cross at great sacrifice to himself. And in that, he died on that cross, bearing our sin, bearing our shame, all of the yucky, icky, nasty stuff we would ever do, say, or think. And he took that. The weight, the sin of the world was heaped upon him in that moment, and he bore our sin on that cross and died. The Bible teaches us in the Old Testament, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So the only way that sin could be taken from us is through Jesus, a perfect sacrifice. And so he did that. And then it says 3 days later, he was resurrected to live forever. And in that resurrection, it says that that same power that raised him from the dead dwells in me and you. Hey, that's exciting. That almost make me dance, and I don't dance. That's good news. That I can do anything in this world, anything that I encounter, no matter how bad the trouble is, because Jesus' spirit is dwelling within me and empowering me, even when my physical body doesn't think I can take any more. You know, sometimes, back to the weight room analogy, I work out alone because that's the time of day that I can do it usually. But there's really something to having someone with you. And Jimmy probably could tell you as a coach, if you can stand over that person who says, okay, I've done my 10 reps, and if that coach can get 3 more reps out of you by standing over you and saying, come on, I believe in you, come on, you can do it, you're strong enough, you're able, they can pull those 3 reps out and they'll grow. If you just do the minimum, no, you're not going to get there.
And you know, guys, as believers, we need to be cheerleaders. We need to be coaches. We need to be standing beside people saying, I know you can go further. I know it hurts. I know that you're tired. I know that you're hurting. But I know that Jesus will come through for you. We can only tell that based upon our own testimonies, but if that testimony is true in us, they can take courage and they can believe when they're walking through those difficult times. Now listen to what Paul says. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. My 3 days of not being able to get up and down the stairs at my office and barely being able to sit down in my chair because of the squat rack and my crazy relationship with it achieves in me something, even though 3 days seemed like a lot of pain, those 3 days are over now and I'm ready to go. As crazy as it may seem, I'm going to go back to that squat rack this week. You know why? Because I'm going to get stronger. Because that pain only lasted for just a few days. And it was bad, don't get me wrong, but it only lasted for a few days. And I passed it, and now that I know I didn't die, I think, all right, maybe I can do it again, right? Because as our faith grows, as we have experiences and we see God in our life rescue us and rescue others around us, and when we share that, we get a little bit of excitement. You know, it stiffens our backbone a little bit too to think, hey, you know what, I can do that. You know, I'm not a runner. Brother Matt over here, he's a runner. I gave that up a few years ago. But he didn't just run. He just did a triathlon, right, a few weeks ago. He didn't just do that on a whim. He trained for weeks and months to get his body to where he could do that. You'll never endure if you don't start somewhere. So whatever you're walking through right now, whatever the pain is, whatever the trouble, wherever you have doubt or you have struggle, you have sickness, you have whatever the case may be for you, if you will dig in and commit and say, God, I don't know where this is going. I don't know why you have me here. I don't know why I have to go through this, but I trust you. God will show up and he will lead you to that next stage in your life. As I close this morning, I want to read a quick passage of Scripture, and I won't talk that long about it, but it's also in 2 Corinthians, and it's chapter 6. And Paul, in this passage, he's talking about the ministry that he is in, and if you know anything about the Apostle Paul, he went through it. He went through some tough times. He was put out for death on multiple occasions, and yet he pressed on. And Paul said this, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonment, and in riots, in hard work, that's a dirty word, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, in patience, in kindness. But listen to this, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love. In truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and through dishonor, through bad report or good report, genuine yet regarded as imposters, known yet regarded as unknown, beaten yet not killed, dying, yet we live on, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, and yet we possess everything. The beauty of this gospel is that even though what it looks like going on around us may look like chaos, may look like the end, we've got everything. If you and I have Jesus Christ, we have what it takes to not only have our lives changed, but be the example of Jesus in the lives of others. That we can go, where we can be encouragement. You know, if I'm going to break some rules here and come down, because I know that gets freaky when you come down, right? But that's okay. If Matt is down, and I go to Matt and I say, you know what, Matt, You're not going through this because you're a bad person. Trouble comes to all of us. It says it rains on the just and the unjust, right? But I've went through trouble too. And here's what God did for me. God loved me. And God forgave me, even if it was my fault. Even if I did the wrong thing, he still endured with me and was long-suffering and patient and caring and gracious with me. And so what am I going to do for Matt? I'm going to do those things for him. I'm going to love him in that way. Because if I can build him up and he can get stronger and I can get stronger, then we're stronger. And then we can go to someone else who needs. Church, we need to love one another. We need to be there for one another. We need to quit devouring each other and taking each other apart. Everybody goes through tough times. Some that we cause on our own and some that just comes from outside. But we need to love one another and strengthen one another. We need to come to a place in our lives where we are willing to quit worrying about what we look like and start being the church. It's not about just coming to church. We need to be the church. And the promise of the scripture is Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. If the gates of hell can't prevail against the church, we can do anything. We can do anything. We can't be defeated unless we want to. This morning we're going to sing a song called The Stand. And it kind of is representative of this idea that we have this morning, that sometimes that's all you can do. Sometimes the times are difficult. Sometimes it's hard. But when you can't do anything else, if you'll stand firm in God's grace, if you'll stand firm in his love, that time will pass. Has any of us in this place ever lived in trouble and it never ends? No. It always lets up at some point, doesn't it? Now, bad news is when you're coming out of one thing and you get up on the mountaintop and you see that, the bad news is, yeah, there's a valley coming if you want to get to the other mountain. If you want to get to that higher mountain to get that better view, that better experience, then, yeah, there are going to be some other tough times. But God is going to walk with you. He promises that he will be closer than anyone else has ever been in your life. But he wants to do that through me and you. Our challenge as a church and as believers is, will we endure? Will we give ourselves to the process for other people? That's what Paul said. Hey, we do all of this so that others can know the glory of God, so they can know the forgiveness, so they can have heaven, and so they can have heaven here on earth. If the worship team would come. As we sing this song together, this altar is open this morning. If you would like to come and you would like to pray, if you have something you need to pray about that you're concerned about, I want to pray with you. And there are others, deacons and elders, who will come and pray with you. But let's take a time this morning and commit ourselves to what God has. It's easy to get caught up in life. We all have a lot going on. I'm no exception. And I know none of you are. But this is life. This life that we have in Jesus Christ. Paul said, don't get caught up in what is seen, but what is unseen. Yeah, we don't see Jesus. We don't see heaven in front of us. We don't see all these things. But he can be seen in us. He can be seen in love. He can be seen in forgiveness. He can be seen in caring for one another as a church.